Today we're going to talk about your third book, Mills of Humboldt County, and I just, for the listener, I just today got to look at it. Let's talk about this book. Now, you've done two books before, and you've worked together.
Correct.
Yeah.
We first collaborated about 2009 on a book on the history of Fortuna and the Eel River Valley. And we enjoyed that process so much that we decided we had other stories that needed to be told. One of them was the history of the Northwestern Pacific Railroad. There was a 100-mile section of it around between 1907 and 1914 that cost an immense amount of money to complete and was quite an operation to do. And we were excited to do that. We wanted to have it come out in time for the 2014 100 anniversary of the railroad. But a book that has been near and dear to me, and since we did the first one, Alex and I have been chatting about it, that we needed to do something about the mills of Humboldt County, because that's part of our history that is slowly disintegrating away. And a lot of the things that I took for granted growing up in Humboldt County that everybody knew, suddenly nobody really remembers anymore. And so I felt it was really a timely piece to write as we are entering this age of what redwoods are cut and how they were cut, and then what lands were logged over. And that now that there's only 5% of the original redwood forest left, it's kind of timely to go back and look and see where it all started.
Mm-hmm. And documenting all of it, right?
Yes.
Now, how did you get all these photos? Who did you go to get the photos?
Well, it's a combination of a number of different area institutions and also some private individuals and families. Of course, I work at the Fortuna Depot Museum, and Susan's the chair of the Historical Commission, which is basically the board of directors of the museum. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the photos in the book are from the Depot Museum collection, but we also have a large number of photos that we were very, very generously permitted to use by the Humboldt State University Library Humboldt Room, and then also the Clark Museum in Eureka and the Humboldt County Historical Society, also based in Eureka, and then again a number of private individuals and families. So those are the main sources for the photos in the book.
Now, what time period?
Yes. Well, we start in 1850 mm-hmm. with the arrival of the first American European settlers in Humboldt Bay, and continue through the first 50 to 60 years. We kind of saw 1906 as a transition point because of the large earthquake in San Francisco at that time. There was a huge increase in the demand for lumber after that that really changed the output of lumber that was possible by the mills and increased the amount of logging that was done. Interestingly enough, in 1850, for the very first mills, they couldn't harvest the redwood trees because they were so large, and the saws at the time in the mills couldn't accommodate the large logs. So for the first two or three years, it was the Douglas fir that was logged. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until 1853 that the first redwood was actually cut and milled.
Do you know what mill did the first huge redwood?
Would be the Muley Mill in Eureka. And it's the other thing that we learned is that every mill in Humboldt must have had at least three or four different names and must have burned at least five times.
Really?
Yes. These early mills were apparently just fires waiting to happen.
How come?
Because of the large machinery that was used and the amount of sawdust that was produced. And of course, you're looking at a building that's made out of dry redwood, which is very flammable.
Right, right. So how many mills do you cover in this book?
Well, we've discovered that in 1896, there were 13 lumber mills in Humboldt County and 26 shingle mills. We actually cover more mills than that because we do look at this large spread of time from 1850 to 1906. And we have an image of the mill, or at least the location of that mill, for every one of those mills that were in operation for whatever length of time. And I never did get around to counting the number of mills that we actually got to have an image of, but because we just were going through chronologically yeah. when they first happened. For example, we have one of a short-lived mill was at Leffenholtz Beach, or near the mouth of Little River anyway, and it was operated by a German immigrant, Baron von Luffenholz, who milled Douglas fir for a very short period of time. There was a high water, a flood, that wiped out his operations, and he went back to Germany and never came back.
He never came back. Wow. Okay.
And with the changing names of the mills, too, that's been a hair-tearing thing throughout the process, because, of course, Susan was particularly determined we're going to have a picture of every single mill. And then, of course, you come to find out, good Lord, this thing changed from, you know, five different names within a period of 10 or 15 years. So trying to make sure, okay, are we sure we've got that mill, or is this a different mill? Definitely was an exciting detective process.
I bet this whole building this book was a detective process for sure.
It definitely is. Being a historian is very much like being a detective, but without the murder.
Although every now and then there's some murders, but hopefully we're not usually connected with them.
Yes, because you find a tidbit of information and you track it down through the newspapers, and it takes a while because the newspapers from the 1800s have a different style than reporters do today. They're very long-winded, and sometimes the story you want is buried back on page 10, with the front page having no local news at all. And so you have to very carefully search your way through all this other information to find the piece that you're looking for. And then it's also detective work in the sense that there are new surprises, and you have to go track down that piece of information, or you find a new source of information that you never knew existed before. For example, we discovered in our research that there was a souvenir produced by the Humboldt County Board of Supervisors at the turn of the century as an advertisement for Humboldt County that was rich of a resource filled with information about both the shingle mills and the lumber mills. And in 1896, the Redwood Lumber Manufacturers Association also created a pamphlet touting the properties of redwood. And it had a lovely description of each mill in it. And in the process of reading that, I found a mill that we hadn't talked about yet. And even better than that, it turns out that we had in our collection a picture of the dam that was built to provide the water for the operation of the mill. So we were kind of happy to be able to have those things come together, and we were able to identify the picture that we had by the picture that we found in one of those souvenir books.
Wow. What a process, right? Now, you know, I keep opening this up to, and I, for those of you who don't see the book right here, they've got these great photos of the mill workers. You see the horses. You see the huge redwood trees that they're cutting into and the fellows working on them. It's amazing. It's our history here. I love this. So tell us about some of the people that you did research on, Alex.
Well, one thing that we did with both the Northwestern Pacific Railroad book and then with this book is have a chapter specifically titled Faces of. We have Faces of the NWP for the railroad book, and then Faces of the Lumber Industry for this book. And of course, there's obviously no way you can profile everybody who was ever involved in the industry, because that's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. But one thing we really wanted to do was just find photos of individuals that we could identify them and track down a little bit of information on them, and have these be, you know, regular people, the guys working out in the woods and the mills, the women working in the cookhouses, so that it wasn't just a history of Carson and Vance, the big famous timber barons, but so that it was trying to give at least a little glimpse into everyday lives of the people for whom this was their life, and of course in some cases their death, because there were so many fatal injuries out in the woods and the mills. So we just really enjoy being able to find photos of these individuals, either portraits of them or out there in the woods, and give a glimpse into their lives.
Yeah, it's impressive. Tell the listeners how this book progresses so that they have an idea, too.
The first chapter is the mills, and it does do that documentation from 1850 to 1906. Then the second chapter looks at how you cut down a redwood tree in the 1800s, and it goes through the process of the tree standing in the woods to it being chopped down. It would take two men a week to cut down one tree. So the process at that, in the very early stages in the 1860s and late 1850s, was very time-consuming. After the Civil War, when we had an increased technology in the tensile strength of steel, they were able to build saws that were stronger, and then you have what was colloquially called the misery whip, the two-handed saw.
Oh.
It was called a misery whip because you had two men sawing back and forth on it, and it was very labor-intensive work. Then we explore the early use of oxen to haul the logs to the mill. Interestingly enough, Humboldt State is sitting on the site of the Jolly Giant Mill operated by Noah Falk. It was one of the first mills that he operated here in Humboldt County. And then we look at, and what he did was he moved his mills, when he cut all the timber that was close by, he moved his operations, his entire mill and everything, to another stand of redwoods. So he had quite a few mills before he ended up at the community of Falk. Then we also look at the transition from the oxen to the steam donkeys, the steam engines. This was one of those epiphanies for me. I didn't know it, but we tracked it down. And that was why I have always known it was called a donkey engine, because it was named after an engine that was on a steamship that had been modified by Dolbear to be used in the woods. And so I dug a little deeper and found out that it was called a donkey engine because it didn't produce as much horsepower as the main engine of the ship, and as it was a subsidiary engine. So it was a donkey engine.
Now we all learned something. That's great.
That's the fun part of history, is that you get to share it and get people excited and interested, because this is our heritage. This is why Humboldt County is the way it is, and why there are these big open tracks left from where these huge mills used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Then from looking at that, we also moved then into the mills themselves, and they went through large sweeps of technology to try and find the best saws to cut the redwoods, because again, you're looking at a huge tree that in some cases they had to split into two or four pieces before they could run it through the mill. And then, of course, and this is an ongoing thing in the lumber industry, is fine-tuning the saw so you don't lose so much wood to sawdust in the cutting process.
Right. And I had this picture open before we went live on air, and I kind of gasped. What is that?
The bottom picture it's a dual circular saw that they used in the 1870s and early 1880s. On the other side of the page, up at the top, there is a series of three circular saws, and that is dubbed Evans' third saw. Evans was the millwright at the Dolbear and Carson Mill in Eureka, and he invented the idea, or created the idea, of using a third saw to help cut the initial large log into lumber. And after we get it out of lumber, we take it to the drying period. It would sometimes take up to a year to dry the wood, and before they could ship it out and sell it, because mm-hmm. wet redwood is very heavy and dense.
Yeah.
And then they learned in the late 1880s and early 1890s to dry the wood in a kiln so that it could be sold sooner. And we finally take it to sailing out of Humboldt Bay on a ship, because, of course, until 1914 and the completion of the railroad, the only way in and out for the product was through Humboldt Bay. And a little trivia tidbit is that about 1904, 1,400 vessels sailed in and out of Humboldt Bay.
Wow.
Transporting lumber. And the amount of money that was made in that time period was immense off of lumber. Another section that we take a look at is the specialty mills of Humboldt County, and included in that is a section on the shipbuilding industry of Humboldt County, because the shipbuilders used pepperwood and Douglas fir to build their boats with, or their ships with, because they were better wood to float. We also look at the shingle industry, or the split products industry, which is another one of those things I learned a lot in, because I've always known about split products. It's one of those attributes of the redwood tree that it splits very easily. And thus, in the early days, fence posts were made and shingles, and they were made by hand. But shingles are something that every house needs to cover the roof, especially at this time. And Ole Hansen of Ole Hansen Road fame here near Arcata invented a shingle mill, or a shingle saw that would make these shingles.
There's so much in this one little, it's a little book, I mean, comparative to some books.
It's it's about 130 pages, and it's a little over 200 photos in it.
So for people, we only have like 30 seconds left. Let's tell everybody, you are doing book signings. Where can people check out the books?
Well, we've got our first big shindig this Friday evening, May 27th, 5 to 7 o'clock at the Depot Museum in Fortuna, sort of a wine and cheese launch party.
Nice.
And then the next day, Saturday, we're at the Depot all day if people want to come buy the book and have us sign it. Then Sunday, we're at Humboldt Redwoods, the Visitor Center down at Burlington, also doing a book signing in the afternoon. And then the next weekend at the County Library, we're doing a talk for the Historical Society Saturday the 4th at 1 o'clock. And then we're at Eureka Books doing a book signing at Arts Alive that evening, 6 to 9 o'clock.
And another book signing will be at the Ridgetop Cafe in Fernbridge on June 11th.
Yay. Okay, so you're everywhere. And are you in all the local bookstores?
Hopefully, yeah. We know a representative of the publishing company has been around selling the book to folks, and hopefully lots have bought it already. And, of course, we have lots of copies at the Depot Museum.
Of course.
And an important thing to note is that the royalties from the book, both Alex and I are donating those to the museum to enrich our further exhibits and to help us on our ongoing search to tell the history of Humboldt County.
Excellent. I know you're working on an second edition to go along with this, right?
Yes, we're working on the sequel.
So we're going to hear more from the two of you.
Absolutely. Definitely.
How long does it take to do this?
A year.
Okay, so we'll see you again in a year. Maybe we'll see you sooner.
Maybe.
Susan O'Hara and Alex Service, thank you so much for coming in, and hopefully we'll get some people out to look at your book, have you sign their books, and get some history out there that you all now shared with us.
Thank you.
We have more stories that we didn't get to. Sorry, Susan, I really wanted to hear some of them. Well, I want to thank everybody who helped put together today's homepage. Again, Susan O'Hara, Alex Service, thank you so much for coming in. We've got to run. I'm out of time. Don't forget, they're doing book signings.